is wonderful Lilt, my great new ancient teammates, Tina Eck and Keith Carr. Wonderful, wonderful. Perfect. So, yes, on all of Washington's most esoteric wizards and wizardesses are here tonight. So that's perfect. It is sufficient to do the magic weird, the dree. So those of you who've been hanging with me, we go Muti, and I actually do have Stella Coyote, coyote hair for our trickster resilience in the face of against all odds kind of quality. So, and I also have tobacco from once beautiful Syria, in which in Aleppo, the man who gave it to me said, only tobacco, this is a pure sacrament. It is meant to be dedicated to harmony, and we wish to restore harmony. We remember that to love disharmony back into harmony creates a greater harmony than existed before. That's from great novelist Michael Gruber. So here's the Muti. We say, O spirit of the compassionate trickster, residing within each one of our hearts, awaiting this moment of dire beauty. That's good. Open the path before each one of us, you know, that we may dree our weird, that we may play our role in destiny. There we have it. So it is the solstice days, that is the longest days, and we know that humans for 25,000 years have gathered in symbolic theater to invite the sun's light in to animate the desirable guiding cultural story. And we go, whew, but maybe never more needed, perhaps more needed than now that we do this. You know, So a prologue, you know, again, many of you have been hanging with me, but just we go, any language that we animate serves as a call and response, a reminder that we live in a storytelling creation, that everything's speaking to us by its shape, its song, its color, its rhythm. And if we just approach the world with informed, reverent curiosity, we'd be back in the choreography of creation. We'd be back in the dance. We go, all of nature, we're going to get to Isis. All of nature is awaiting, you know, our species' wonder and willingness to dedicate, you know, to being collaborative agents. So language grants us access to the realm that it describes. So part of the beauty of astrology mythology is to have this language of the dynamic relationship between our interior lives and the collective is way, way useful and beautiful. You know, and a restoring of intimacy to the world, this kind of call and response. So as I delineate the planets, you know, this is not a belief system, it's a beautiful language intrinsic to all cultures. The planets represent living qualities of intelligence that reside within us, you know, and connect us to those qualities that suffuse creation. So as I kind of bring them into play, you know, just feel that they are part of your resonance, that we are collaboratively cahooting in this conversing, you know, con is with versus turning. We're all turning together. And we're gathered tonight to consider. Con means with and sitter is the stars. To avert disaster, which means against the stars. So we gather. So again, we call on all the great, we remember all the great guiding stories and trickster tales, and certainly Br'er Rabbit that begins by saying, there was times when all the creatures used to gather to sagacuate, just like there ain't been no hard times, like there ain't been no falling out, like they all remembered they were kin. So right now, as the sun illumines, you know, the zodiacal realm of Cancer, which is Big Mama, come on home to Big Mama. Everybody's a son and a daughter of Big Mama. So it's that pulling in big tide, you know, of remembering conscious kinship. You know, and the quality of light and dark, you know, this is the longest day, you know, and also we love dark, as we're here to do effective dedication to beauty, restoring beauty in the world. You know, the rareness of darkness, you know, in our human world is a blight. And there's all kinds of great studies that say, you know, dark feeds the capacity for imaginative complexity. We want mystery, ambiguity. We don't want to impose constraining certainty on liberating mystery. These are complex times, and we get to be the antidote to the American phenomenon, which is, you know, to have an opinion about something within 5 seconds of hearing about it, no matter how informed. Whoa! It used to be 10 seconds, but it's gotten shorter now. You know, so we're in this twilight right now, in these long summer twilights that will begin to grow shorter after today, you know, in a world of over-illumination. And again, you know, when I used to visit wonderful person Jarvis Masters on death row in San Quentin. May he be well and prevail. But I asked him, what would you want if you could have anything? And he said, a night of darkness. I was like, wow, so touched by that, because there's no dark in prison. I go, ah. So we are here to animate the guiding story that we not be hoodwinked or bamboozled or hoodwinked by our desire to not be hoodwinked, but to be the antidote to nefarious backstage forces that fan division and hatred and war and conflagration. We're going to go backwards in time in our psyches as well, where we know there was harmonious accord between diversity, where we embrace, you know, positive qualities of human ingenuity and storytelling and mythology, the quality of syncretism, you know, which is a welcoming of the best from every culture and inviting it as a living force to blend with the living force of other cultures. The most known, you know, is, well, we're going to be doing Middle East to Ireland to everything, you know, but because it is all woven together. But it was years ago in Jamaica that I was like, I love Jamaican voice, the musicality of it, and it's so in my ear, like my kind of ancestral Irish lilt. And then it was years later in this great article called The Voodoo Roots of Jazz and Rock and Roll that Michael Ventura wrote about. In the 1660s, Oliver Cromwell's brother in charge of Ireland sold thousands of pagan Irish women and babies into slavery into the Caribbean. And they bring Celtic magic and the maypole, which then syncretizes with many different African civilizations, you know, into the realm of voodoon, you know, and then Christianity comes along, and the attitude is, again, you know, playfully, seriously, you know, invitational. Another sacrificial god? Absolutely, come along, you know. And so behind all the Christian saints are African deities, behind Santa Barbara's Django. But it's a quality of syncretism, of, again, living vitality and myth, to have a myth that can sustain people, you know, under grief, you know, and get us through. And that quality that we want to, you know, bring into play to be antidotes to what Terry Pratchett calls the cunning man, the mob mind, the hot reactivity, the polarization, the nefarious backstage staging, you know, of conflict, you know, to profit, you know, cui bono. Who's profiting from this? You know, and then we remember from Greek stage drama that the word obscene means backstage, offstage. You know, so we want to illuminate the offstage and go, well, you know, and then be antidotes, you know, that we be agents of calm, ever-expanding responses in a hot, reactive world. Whoa. And to understand, you know, again, you know, in Iraq, yes, we'll get to the phenomenon of ISIS, the being in the news so much, but it's like, again, fanning, like in Rwanda, you know, and radio stations and hate, and also in this country, anything that's anywhere is everywhere. Who profits from discord? You know, Doris Lessing said, you know, in her novels, she posited colonizing forces on this planet, you know, wise guides and, you know, medium sociopaths, and then Shamat that feeds on discord. We go, who feeds on discord? I love Andy Borowitz saying, Sunnis and Shias unite over telling, you know, Dick Cheney to shut up. We go, yes, all those things are, you know, but the cunning man, again, that quality of, you know, that we know, we can hear it in ourselves when we say, I don't know what got into me, you know, because again, we're all connected. And it's a way of understanding crime and psychosis, is we're all in this thing together. When pressure comes down, it erupts through thin membranes, you know, psychic, psychotic, so. And some of my favorite people on the planet are forensic psychiatrists, meaning keeping kinship, you know, understanding kinship, not condoning, but keeping kinship with even the guiltiest among us. Yeah, so there's this realm of right now, cook everything back, you know, and ladle out, you know, offer a metaphoric template for the desirable story, which is why, you know, everyone is issued, we like literalizing metaphors, everyone, you know, as in my trickster training councils in myriad forms, but everyone has, you know, beside you an invisible thing you can take with you. It is your harumphitude composter. It is whenever hot, reactive harumphitude comes up, you can compost it into what Esther Hicks says, her guidance. She says, we can't convince or bomb or judge anybody, but we can see them connected, to their own appropriate, wise autonomy. And it is such a good experiment as a default setting, I can't tell you, because you know how when we see somebody doing something bad, like, ugh, and we're almost then waiting, almost hoping for them to do it again, because we go, ah, feed Shemat. But it is in us, which is why we want to practice together. And whenever I've, because it takes practice, you know, caught myself doing that, going, no, I see them connected to their own wise, you know, even if it's something horrible on the news, you know, it works. It's a worthy experiment, going, right, rude people behind you talking in the theater, like, you know, because if we do the shh thing, we've set up this polarity, and that's, again, what we're here to be antidotes for. You know, John Michael Greer says, if you want people to get nothing done but conflict, convince them they're on one side of something, and you will only get, you only get heat, you only get a hot climate, a hot, you know, what two needs is three, which is the unifying story. We're all in this thing together. Where's a common shared vision? You know, and to become skilled in that realm. So we have a harumphitude composter and even a preemptive harumphitude composter. If you know you're going into hot chat rooms, you know, visits with relatives, you know, whatever, going, because the trickster part of all of us does not expect, because that's always disappointing, but is willing to leave room for others to behave in unexpectedly appropriate ways. Not counting on it, just magnetizing that possibility. You know, and it's really fun in the language realm to play with this, because that creates fuel that conjures the kind of synchronous trickster lightning in which possibilities occur that weren't at all visible. You know, which is why in the resolving, the unifying story, we don't want to start with how, because that's where people go to war. We want to start with what. Now, I love putting the hyphen in diagnosis, dia-hyphen-gnosis. May criticism and diagnosis be involved in gathering all esoteric knowledge? And we go, yes. And so since ISIS has been in the news in the last couple of weeks, it would say, ISIS says this, and ISIS says that. But even before that happened, I was aware of one of my fundamental dedications, which is restoring mythological literacy to the world. So I have a bumper sticker for a long time on my car that is ISIS, ISIS, rah, rah, rah. And I was at... that's right, and one of my friends actually was hosting a brunch for her other young friends, and they asked her as they drove by my car, why is your neighbor supporting terrorism? I'm like, oh, mythological literacy, may it be. We see it returning, you know. But even before that, you know, I was just at, you know, 7-Eleven parking lot, you know, and there were young women, like 17, kind of hanging out, and they were like, oh, cool car, oh, cool streaks in your hair, cool. And I said, oh, have you seen the ISIS, ISIS, rah, rah, rah bumper sticker? And they're like, what's that? What's ISIS? And so I pulled out my harumphitude composter just for a second, going, oh, mythological literacy. No. And I go, ISIS is the power of any beautiful woman, the likes of yourselves, in her fullness. And they were like, wow, cool. I was like, yeah, that's more fun than going, you should know. You know. And again, how do we find and replace and reverse this so that we critique? It's like we want to leave here with skills to play with all summer, you know, play in a dedicated way. You know, working with Neil Douglas Klotz, Aramaic scholar at Robert Bly's Great Mother Conference, the group of 100 and something wanted to have a conversation on the problems in the Middle East. And there were Jewish peace activists and people in the Israeli army, and there were Palestinian poets. And Neil said, these people are not ready for this. I do this for a living in the actual Middle East. And this is these, you know. And I go, well, we got to do it. But here's the frame. For each person who brings up a kind of, then they are magnetized and invited to come up with a blessing. And so people, again, because we live in a blessing illiterate culture, like, blessing, what's that? And I go, it doesn't have to be realistic. So somebody would say, well, the American people are just so stupid, you know, the finger wagging thing. And I go, and your blessing would be? And they're like, I go, it doesn't have to be, you know, may every time people hear lies, may a council of spirit wolves gallop around them, reminding them of the truth and their kinship with nature, you know, or whatever. And they were like, okay, so everybody kind of loosened up. So every grumpy thing, you know, the Israeli state, and your blessing would be, what do you want to see happening? And so everybody was game. And at the end of it, Neil was like, that was amazing. He said, because there was no poison in the room. Everybody, you know, assumed creative responsibility for inviting in the antidote to the poison they were bringing up. We go, Now there's our team out there. I love all these people here, I do. So it is such a potent time to cahoot. You know, we go, let us be artists of atmosphere and collaborative cahoots with nature to animate the guiding cultural meme and spiral it into the memosphere. Because it is a potent time, just to introduce just a little bit of the planet. So the sun in Cancer, come on home to Big Mama. Mercury, you know, the messenger is retrograde, appearing to move backwards again, which is, remember, you know, your nearest exit may be behind you. Go backwards, go backwards, go backwards. You know, remember kinship. Its images for each degree of the zodiac, is gypsy leaving the tribe in the woods, headed for the city. I go, well, in the larger myth, it says, you know, many of us, you know, some frankly eccentric and some in witness relocation programs pretending to be normal. But it's that come on home now. You know, in all the fairy tales, it's like come on back to the court, you know, from your angle of, you know, maintaining your mojo, whatever, but come on back. There's always the return and the reanimation of the myths that were put on pause. So the outer planets represent huge forces of nature's evolutionary intelligence. You know, and they're the kind of keepers of the whole big guiding collective story. So we know, I mean, for years I've been talking about this, but we know, even without this language, you know, Pluto, death and rebirth, is in Capricorn, structure of world. Dominance is collapsing. Bridges, infrastructure, dental work, okay, all these things. And then coming up out of that descent is Pluto squares Uranus, again, Uranus, ingenuity, trickster, against all odds, complete willingness to cooperate with everything and to cooperate with nature as a partner in a humble way, cooperate with nature's ingenuity in a humble way. So it's neck and neck. And of course, the grief is that collapsing empire and dominance and colonialism has such a highly developed technology of death. You know, it's like, poof. To address that, you know, so Neptune is the other outer planet that represents how a culture tells itself its own story through images, myth, and music. And we remember that, you know, our word to dream, draymon, English, comes from Old English word, you know, draymon, which meant to dream and to make music, reminding us that making music is a way of participating in dreaming the world into being. So we want a cultural renaissance of beautiful music whereby to embody our dedication, you know. So I love looking things up, taking everything back, taking everything back. Etymology is taking words back to where they're living. So my favorite learning this spring was an ally in the Trickster Training Council reminded that the word respect means to look at again, respect. And it's like, oh, that is so great. You know, again, or if we follow Aretha Franklin, it's respect. Look it again, until you can find some beauty to respect and invite that to the party. So it's the antidote to prejudice, and let's enlarge prejudice. It simply means prejudging. It simply means having an opinion before you have the full story. And we never really have the full story. You know, it's the teachings from Black Southern Christian churches that say there's no one we couldn't love if we really knew their story. Now, it's not, again, about condoning. We're going to bring in ferocity. But, again, what if we really are dreaming up a culture that rather than retribution and revenge and violence and reaction really wants to heal? Going, oh, you poor little sociopath. Goodness, what happened to you? You know, now we're going to put you someplace where you can no longer harm yourself by harming others. But, you know, but rather than... So to assume cultural narrative, so we're not just reacting like, oh, that horrible thing, oh, that horrible thing. We go, oh, that horrible thing, and here's where we're going. Many things that we're going to bring into play. I love the saying, tyrants don't care if they're hated as long as the people don't love each other. You know, and we reframe that as tyrants don't care if they're hated as long as the people don't love the earth. You know, and that's, again, we're all on this vast journey, you know, biophilia, you know, the love of this planet, the love of all the creatures on this planet. You know, and part of that, again, as we say, olly olly income free, Neptune says, imagine that the deepest, most exiled, most altruistic, most creative, most compassionate part of each one of us is about to be completely welcome. Like, whew. Neptune is like the invisible tendrils that actually lead a culture on which the molecules of reality follow along behind. So it's, you know, the possibilities of radio and certainly music and the memesphere and what we dream and what we conjure even here. You know, the purpose of ritual magic was always for a dedicated group of people to intentionally spiral into group human mind an expanded repertoire of tolerance and wisdom, to pour cool water on what is hot, to provide ample, vast opportunities of response available to those who are in extremely hot, reactive circumstance. So falling in love with life, you know, really crucial. Part of the beautiful pattern of now, well, Mars is rising in the east right now. Its image is a boat dock wrecked by storms is getting repaired, the task of repairing the entire world. We go, thank you, Mars, we know that. Right next to it are little asteroid Ceres, Demeter, goddess of the Earth, that's been elevated to a dwarf planet by the same guys who demoted Pluto, but now Pluto's back as a planet. But the image for that is, you know, consulting library, you know, connecting spiritual philosophies from the past to human needs now. And I go, whoa, because ever since I started hearing ISIS in the news, I was dusting off all of my books way too much. I won't be imposing all of that on you, going, ISIS, every index of Carl Jung and Joseph Campbell and every chapter in Manly Hall, Esoterica, going, wow, okay. And I go, I can't use all of this, but I'll be back. But it is very important, this restoration of mythological literacy. Again, this come on home to Big Mama. Because as we explore what ISIS is, okay, now, in the news, all these people, mythologically illiterate, are going, ISIS is an enemy. The Islamic State for Iraq and Syria, and some call it ISIL. Barack Obama was saying ISIL. but everybody else, all the news is going, ISIS, ISIS. So we know it's a quirky fluke, but it reminds us that all news is mythic news, that they're actually shouting the antidote. Because ISIS is one of the fundamental, you know, formative, originating goddesses who is nature. And before we dive into more of her and why we understand her as the antidote, you know, one of the best science fiction novels ever was written in 1924. It's called We by Eugene Zamyatin. It's a genius thing. Orwell and Huxley stole most of their ideas. So 1924, he's got a technology that lulls people into complacency, and there's a dome, and it excludes nature. Nature's on the outside. And, you know, the pleasure, you will be fed, you'll be whatever, but it's this technological prison. And in that, everybody's got a number, but there's this wild woman, you know, who goes to and fro from nature to the dome. She's called by a number, you know, and she does dangerous things like smoke, you know. And she's talking to the narrator and saying, you have hair on your hands, you know, you're more wild than this dome. You know, anyway, it's a fabulous novel, okay. But that was the first dystopian, prescient knowledge of the exclusion of nature allows for control. You know, and again, we're here to insource what we've been outsourcing. If we've outsourced Saturn, which is leadership, to sociopathic dingbats who've lost a sense of kinship, we want to come on back home to mama, inhale it back in, you know. So ISIS is everywhere. In the apocalypse, it is thought that she is the 12th chapter, the woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, a crown of 12 stars. You know, in some depiction, she's wearing a crown that is the Ouroboros, the snake, you know, biting its own tail. She's very much like card 3 in tarot. She is, you know, fertile, and yet she is one of the original virgin goddesses who gives birth to everything, okay? So we have a virgin goddess. And there's sorrow, which we want to honor. She is also, because we live on a planet with birth and death, she knows about tragedy. So Isis, Plutarch says her name translates as wisdom, so she is equivalent with Sophia. There's also scholars who really say, oh, there's a northern correspondence, Isa, I-S-A, which is northern, which is the frozen water. There's the Egyptian deity, but it's nature in nearly all religions of the ancient world, and then Isis becomes the Virgin Mary. So it's an interesting journey. It is the power of the feminine and the willingness of humans to cooperate with nature. So it is more than ironic, you know, that it is this incredibly efficient, brutal army that Al-Qaeda goes, too brutal for us. We go, So whimsical and well as profound way, one of my ally, Rebecca Lowe, who's in the Trickster Training Council, says, as I hear ISIS over and over again, I'm reminded of a little chant I use often. It's from Zee Budapest, who says, calling on ISIS for your needs is cool because she isn't doing all the work she used to. You know, she lives in imaginary time, yes? And the chant is, ISIS, ISIS, I'm in crisis. Send me now. And we go, that's really good. We might even try it. ISIS, ISIS, I'm in crisis. Send me peace, you know, now. Okay, well, just put that in your pocket and keep it next to your harumphatud composter. But it's charming. You know, it's like Terry Pratchett says, you know, and also Eddie Izzard says, you know, gods of everything, gods of struck drawers, gods of bad haircuts, gods of whatever. So everything has a presiding deity, and, you know, the gods are not as humorless as they used to be. But then in the, let's say that mythic figures are metaphoric animations of intrinsic intelligence in nature. So we're offering a template, and nature animates that, but it's a mystery. It's not a certainty, but it's, again, here's that. But we say the divine wants to be liberated from past confines of human imagination. It's a fluid field. And again, the power of symbols, dreams, and music. Wonderful Dionne Fortune in the 1940s in England wrote these great novels where her character is a priestess of Isis in the modern world, long before any New Age hoo-ha. You know, and she says, Isis is the magnetic link through which power flows, the power of being a woman. You know, not the bright radiance of fluffy Aphrodite, you know, but dark Isis, you know, for all women in their fullness are agents of Isis. And I go, oh. So the myth, which I will not go, I spent hours reading this. I will not burden you with that, but the gist of it, it's everywhere. Mozart's Magic Flute is inspired by a description of the mysteries of Isis and Osiris in the Latin novel, The Golden Ass by Apuleius. You know, so it's everywhere. Again, we've forgotten kind of the lineage. She is the sister bride of Osiris.
Yes.
And she is the mother of Horus. Somebody gave me this hat a while ago, so we go for props. So the all-seeing eye, you know, Horus, the hawk-headed, very important. You know, these are presiding over things. You know, and again, then we have cross-syncretism mythologies, you know, in which there's a lot of resonance between the temple builders in Malta, and then in Sicily, and then in England, and then in Newgrange in Ireland. There's a mythological fluidity throughout the ancient world of syncretism. Joseph Campbell, with whom I studied a smidge, but he says, around 2800, abruptly something new in the Egyptian Delta. You know, because we have these things like na-na-na-na, and then, whoa, flourishing. You know, we say crisis can accelerate renaissance. So he says abruptly, you know, maybe over millennia, but hieroglyphic writing appears, the mythology of the god Horus, the resurrected god Osiris, Isis arrives, and there are trading fleets to Crete, Syria, Palestine, flying signal flags, and even going as far as, you know, Spain, Portugal, France, and Ireland, they think, 2800 BC. So it is a death and resurrection. There's a virgin goddess, there's a resurrection thing, there's an evil brother. Very important set is the evil brother that, again, tricks Osiris into stepping into a box, which is then sealed and cast into the sea, and the lamentation of Isis, the sister bride, you know, is strong on this grief realm. But as a sidebar, in Egyptian mythology, when the sun is about to burn up the world and all the other gods don't know what to do, they go, well, we'll have to ask Set. Set is the devil. Because only he has the horses that can harness the chariot of the sun and prevent the world's destruction. But he's evil. But they're like, but he's our only hope. So they go to Set and they go, will you do this thing to save the world? And he's like, yes, without the world there'd be no place for me. So yeah, so the most evil being in mythology saves the world. This is also useful. Again, all it took was asking. You know, again, at the invitation or asking, part of the dynamic is, you know, many of you may know, again, but Osiris, again, you know, he's the coffin lodges in a tree, and, you know, the longer story, you know, whatever, and then it becomes beautiful, but then, you know, the evil brother sees it again and, you know, opens it and cuts him into 14 pieces, of which Isis finds 13. The 14th is his penis, which a fish eats. These are mysteries. But in any case, by hovering over his body, she becomes pregnant with Horus. You know, I mean, anyway. So it's a trippy motif that goes from Crete, you know, from Egypt to Crete to Syria to, you know, and with spirals everywhere, again associated with spirals in the ancient world that of course go into the Celtic world. Thank you. The spiral is sacred to Venus. In nature, when conflicting forces come together, spirals ensue. So we can be pretty sure that cultures that have spirals are pretty hip to the resolution of conflict and the collaboration with nature. You know, and then there's a whole connection to Newgrange, but that will be a longer lecture. Never mind that. Part of this idea of, you know, syncretism as a sacrament, you know, the willingness, you know, whatever we're drawn to excavate, going, I love this culture, or these animals, or this realm, we go, well, then that's part of the medicine brew you bring to the whole collective deal that we all need. You know, just as we journeyed from, you know, Ireland to the Caribbean, and I love that I could hear it before I knew it, but then, of course, in the Caribbean, people are like, yeah, man, we know that. There's all kinds of O'Malley's here. Of course we know that. But we also have then, you know, from the Middle East to Ireland, we can get there. There are Ouroboros, snakes, you know, Patrick didn't get them all. In the Book of Kells, this Christian biblical illustration, you know, the Ouroboros is there right when it's talking about, you know, two thieves crucified next to Jesus, although all of this is in dispute and possibly symbolic. The Ouroboros, again, is one of Isis's crowns, you know, the snake devouring its own tail. And we go, right, as a symbol for nature's regenerative force with which we, you know, cahoot. There's the Grail legend, which again is the mixing of Celtic mythology with Islamic. You know, the healing mythology that we want to awaken now that came out of the hostility of the Crusades. But in the Grail legend, you know, the land is ill and dying because of inauthenticity. King is wounded in the groin, so we're getting this repetitive theme. What does it mean at a time of cultural crisis to reinvent leadership, to reinvent Mars, to reinvent, you know, all of that? But in the Grail legend, which is to restore, it's to restore the waters of life, but it begins also, you know, there's many beginnings of the Grail legend. It goes all the way back to the Jesus tale and Joseph of Arimathea, you know, journeying from the Middle East to Glastonbury to found a, you know, many things. But it is also, in the Grail legend, Parsifal can only restore the waters of life when he finds he has a secret black twin brother, half black, half white twin brother who is Islamic. And only together can they restore the waters of life. Like, oh, okay, these are, again, mysteries. What does that mean? The beauty of each culture brought into harmonious accord is the experiment of now. But there is also the black seed, the beauty out of grief. And I just wanted to briefly take us to a deep place, because it is a deep summer. We will emerge. You know, I've been reading these giant novels that are intriguing and troubling and beautiful. But there was a passage about a woman losing a child, a woman whose child is born dead, which is a powerful thing. And just a little passage of how it's described. So there's this great sadness of the loss of the much yearned for beloved child, and the husband feeling, a bit what to do. When he turned to leave, she set her hand on his shoulder, and so he waited, watching when he thought he should watch, and looking away at other times. And what he saw was her coming back together, particle by particle, until at last she returned to him with a look that meant she had survived it. We go, oh, okay, beautifully put. In her mind, where the baby had already lived and breathed, the hopes and dreams at least that made up the baby to her, was a place that would not vanish simply because the baby had died. She could neither let the place be empty nor seal it over and turn away as if it had never been. And so it remained, a tiny darkness, a black seed, a void into which a person might forever plunge. So Isis is associated with those black seeds that still exist, of all that we love that has died or that never made it here. There are a million of these things, but we also saw, I guess it was in the last couple of days, that Kenya's largest and most beloved elephant was just slaughtered and murdered, Sato. And Richard Muller, who's the executive director of the preserve, you know, found Sato's body and said he couldn't see past the wall of tears. We go, huh, it was a Washington Post article. But so we then let us amplify the truth that ivory be a poison, a shaming proclamation of devolution of any lack of reverence for life, only to be cured by a change of heart, remorse, respect, apology, and protection. And, you know, it's Antonio Machado says, what have you done with the garden that was entrusted to you? So here's a beautiful song of grief.
I went out late one night, moon and the stars were shining bright. Storm come up and the trees come down. Tell you boys I was waterbound. Waterbound on a stranger's shore. A river was rising to my door. Carried my home to the fields below. I'm waterbound, nowhere to go. Carved my name on an old barn wall. No one knew I was there at all. Stable dry on a winter's night. Turn your head, you can see the light. Black cat crawling on an old boxcar. A rusty door and a fallen star. Ain't got a dime in my nation's sack. Waterbound and I can't get back. It's all gone and I won't be back. Don't believe me, count my tracks. The river is long and the river is wide. Meet your boys on the other side. Say my name and don't forget. Water still ain't got me yet. Nothing but I'm bound to roam. Waterbound and I can't get home. Waterbound and I can't get home.
Thank you. Thank you. It makes us weep to honor the black seeds we all carry within us. It's so such a, but I also love so much what you both do, but to have the defiant, jaunty beauty of the flute rising up, because we are here, you know, beauty rising up out of grief to be even more dedicated. So even as the most magnificent elephant was slaughtered for its ivory, there was a rare sighting of Migaloo, the great albino, all-white humpback whale off the shores of Australia. And we go, may he be safe. And that's also, again, the all news is mythic news. The Grail legend begins when a great white beast gallops into Arthur's court. It's the great white stag, but a whale will do. The whale was like, I would if I could. And that says to Arthur, like, oh, the, you know, nature has sent an emissary, a great white being, meaning we must mend our ways and cooperate, and all must go forth into the forest where it is darkest for them, and return with a story of ingenious cooperating with nature, you know, says Arthur, and we go, oh, right. And then it's also part of the beauty of this wonderful music and all that we love, you know, is also how do we empathic, compassionate, grieving, but be effective rather than self-indulgent. You know, again, it's the model of better a trickster than a martyr. And the model is same impulse, martyr, trickster. Martyr takes on unconscious material of family or culture and then goes, I've taken it on, and oh, I'm so special, and now I'm so sensitive more than anybody else, and now I'm really ill. Blah. Okay. trickster, same impulse, but does not presume. Again, very important that, again, we can't do anything by ourselves. You know, Isis cannot find Osiris and put most of his body back together again without her sons, Anubis, jackal-headed, and Horus, hawk-headed. You know, and the moon god, who's who's described as an ibis with glasses. I think they had glasses. But anyway, ascribing Isis. So only with animals, you know, in some way can we wend our way back? Can we invite in this beauty? And the trickster takes on the poison, but then invites in what can metabolize the poison, does not presume to take it on themselves. And that's this call and response between visible and invisible, not a belief. It's something that is in our bones and blood that we've been shamed out of, going, oh, it's good. We go, no. And and again, call in the wrathful Dakinis, or, you know, great images of part woman, part animal, pre-organized religious beings who they are, that they represent that in nature which metabolizes poison, like mycelia and mushrooms and sunflowers and watermelon and so many things. So they metabolize the poison, the toxin of anger, into the tonic of wrath, fierce protection of life. Tiger! You know, and they metabolize the poison of seduction, like, into the tonic of magnetism, bring everything alive. You know, and again, you know, reciprocal rejoicing in each other's beauty and strength and accomplishment. May it go well for you, reciprocal blessing. So I loved, you know, Frank McCourt's incredible, you know, memoir about growing up really, really poor in Ireland, Angela's Ashes. But it was heartening. He said he had to rewrite the narrative voice three times because the story is so sad. It's so terrible. It really makes you think, like, I can go make myself a cup of tea. Man, I'm rich. You know, and so the first two narrative voices were too bitter. It was unreadable. It was too sad, and the voice was too bitter. And it's like my friend David Grimes says, and who's a cancer, and like the Dalai Lama, and other great people, and not to mention George W. Bush, you know, Nelson Mandela, the great guys. But especially now, it's about finding the innocent dignity of our child heart, not completely savvy. Again, gentle as doves, wise as serpents. You know, but never jaded. You know, and that's what Frank McCourt had to find. He had to find the innocent dignity of his child heart as the narrator. And that's what made it such a fantastic book. You know, that is a descent into the just sad, oh my God, and then the power of language and the human spirit and poetry and art and compassion to emerge. You know, so we go, there's so many connections. You know, it's said again, the Palestinians are the Irish of the Middle East, and we go, oh, yes, so many connections and syncretism. You know, and part of what we're, as we get into play and beauty, we get into beauty poker, is what I've begun to call it, with a wonderful friend of mine, Deborah Felmuth, who's been living until recently in Syria for a long time and with her wonderful Syrian family. But I have her on the radio show often before the cataclysm and afterward and on as well. I think, am I doing it? A little slowly fall. All right, that's fine. That's good. But she reminds us that the underneath everything, the mojo medicine that everyone holds, but especially the women, the beauty of the Middle East, is that it is a culture of blessing, fundamentally. May it go well for you. And curviness. You know, just as Fatima Mernizi, a wonderful Moroccan feminist, says, if anything's anywhere, it's everywhere. And addressing tyranny, she goes, you know, if there's... the veil covering, you know, in the Middle East, she said the equivalent in America is size 6. We go, it looks different, but it's the same kind of tyranny. But again, similarly, if there's beauty anywhere, it's everywhere. So this reciprocal blessing that is such a beautiful medicine of the Middle East, and part of what you can, you know, in Syria, again, underneath everything, how actual people live, you know, you don't say, how are you, which is always a tedious question to answer.
Exactly.
But you say, what color are you today? You know, and the answer is, Alhamdulillah, all praise the divine. We go, oh, that's great. And then you start off in this, again, curvy way. So there's the architecture, the beauty, the music is incredibly complex and, you know, and then you begin with blessings. You know, may orange blossoms be wafted across your path and all things go well for you today. And then the person would say, thank you, and may pomegranate blossoms and orange blossoms intermix in a spiral before your feet that may, you know, uplift you so that all of your burdens feel as nothing. And, you know, and you go back and forth, and so we began to call it blessing poker. I see your blessing and raise you one. And we go blessing poker and then beauty poker, that we begin to, you know, inform the memosphere. Wherever there's hyper yang Mars death frenzy, you know, let there be beauty, the dynamic leadership of Venus to replace that. Here is a beautiful song from our people. Ooh, that is beautiful. But here's an even more beautiful song from our people. Ooh, that is beautiful. So, but blessing poker in the infinite game. You know, James Carr says a finite game is about winning, an infinite game is about keeping everything in play. You know, so the infinite poker game, not as wonderful Stephen Wright, I can't resist, says, I played poker last night with tarot cards, I had a full house and 8 people died. But not that one. We want, so again, the play and the idea, so there's blessing poker, may it go well for you, may it go even well, and it can be fierce blessing. You know, may whoever's abusing power be moved to a place they can no longer harm themselves by harming others. That's fun. You know, but we always include ourselves, right, in case we get, whoa, you know, so we're allowed to set in motion anything of which we would be the happy recipients, you know, which the best example, I mean, we want to come up with many more, but, you know, when Wanda Sykes, bless her heart, said, you know, Rush Limbaugh wants Obama to fail, I want Rush Limbaugh's kidneys to fail, we go, I love you, Wanda, but the trickster model would be, no, we want Rush Limbaugh's kidneys to work so well that they flush all the poison out of him and leave him in a pool of befuddled innocence. And we go, there we go. That's more fun and more effective too. Let me. Okay, just do that. Okay, and then do that. And okay, okay. No, I think I've got it. Yes, I've only been. Yeah, I think it's tight. Oh, the other way.
Yeah.
The other way, you say. Aha! Well, that's good. That's good guidance for now too. I see. I thought I was fixing it, but I was making it. There's a metaphor everywhere. Okay, that should do. Very good. Excellent. So there's also this beautiful story, you know, a Christian family refusing to give up its Bethlehem Hill farm that they've had for 98 years and, you know, the settlements surrounding them and then mowing down their trees that they've worked on for decades and saying, no, we've just decided this is not your land anymore, you know. But they have said, nobody can force us to hate. We refuse to be enemies. We have the deed. We're going to take that thing. We will plant, you know, we grieve. The black seeds of all that we loved are in our hearts, but we use that grief, that kind of black ISIS grief, to go, we will plant more trees, you know, and we will not hate you. It's again in New Orleans, all the second line parades come out of the funeral homes. New Orleans is so witty. And, you know, again, all the musicians are wearing t-shirts and hats that say, we heart haters. We go, oh, that is so good. I mean, the medicine that comes out of people who have every reason to be bitter and who aren't. I mean, it's natural to be reactive and bitter. But those people under incredible pressure who have every reason to be bitter and who aren't, we go, oh, that That's so fabulous. And it's David Grimes and Rick Steiner, who work with wolves in Alaska, you know, send this to us. They go, remember that wolves break out into play about every 30 minutes of the day, all day long. Though people try to kill them, and they must find food, and there are all other sorts of things to deal with, but play they do not miss. Every 30 minutes, they seem to have worked it out, eh? We go, yes, like wolves, you know. And so what also goes with blessing poker, beauty poker, is enthusiasm poker. And this comes from wonderful shamanic teacher Sandra Ingerman years ago when I first heard her speak. She was working with a woman who was just be plagued by every illness in the world, just bacterial, viral, everything. And they journeyed back and sort of saw her as a little girl, just shut down, just no affect. And they both understood it wasn't that the bacteria and the viruses were bad. They just had more enthusiasm for life than this woman, right? And I go, all right, now, so now we have enthusiasm poker. I see your enthusiasm, you bacteria, you bad thing, and I raise you. We have more enthusiasm for the beauty of our story. You know, just as things to play with. Taking from everywhere, you know, I was reading an article on, you know, mindful disciplining of children, and it was pretty good. It was earnest, but it was pretty good, but I was going... but the essence was, she said, what you don't say to your five-year-old is, now put on your socks and shoes, Susie, because mom's got to get to work on time. And she says, you don't do that because children do not have a prefrontal cortex. You go, we're putting on our socks now. And I go, well, this is then how we want to deal with the upcoming election. We want to be election whisperers going, because many of the politicians also do not yet have a fully formed prefrontal cortex either. So we go, we're doing this, you know, come on, we're healing the environment, we're doing this thing here, there we go. You know, again, so from everything, mindful discipline, and that also goes with, you know, the dog whisperer. I love the dog whisperer. Again, everything's befoibled, you know, some people are like, eh, and I go, no, but I think he is a dog. But he says, again, the essence of leadership, Americans have lost, you know, the concept of leadership is calm, you know, assertive, I might take a slightly different word, but calm, assertive energy. He says all dog problems are human problems. You want to hold an energy field. And I go, right, it's like mindful discipline. We want to be politician whisperers going, hey, no, there you go over there. And the principles from the dog whisperer are you never correct a dog when you're upset. This is a big, interesting challenge. I mean, I still live with Stella Coyote, who still leaps on the stove and steals my supper, going, not upset. but it's a great thing to take and practice, which is, because to dog mind, to wolf mind, if you are like, ah, it means this is an unstable cuckoo person, and if they are in charge, the pack will die. So I'm going to have to take over. So again, calm, assertive, you know, and you never use a dog's name for anything but praise, you know, which is good in relationships or out into human things or all kinds of stuff. Again, more imagination. So I like the mindful discipline of children applied to politics. You know, come on, we're implementing, you know, regulations to, you know, yes, we are. That's what we're doing now. Well, there we go, out the door. Yes, we're doing that to create a magnetic field. And see, ISIS was all into the magic of ISIS, which is, again, a very complex esoteric mystery school that runs throughout thing. But it was about magnetizing the desirable in the collective mind realm. And so, again, it's being, as the goddess of nature, it's being invoked, you know, by even kind of... you know, we go, and so I have the dog whisperer, mindful discipline, and of course, Eddie Izzard invoking the sacred teachings of Star Trek, in which several principles, but I love this so much. I have not yet tired of saying it. So Eddie Izzard says Star Trek, a very advanced civilization, and yet their phasers only had two settings, stun or kill. He said, we need more settings, you know, sudden interest in botany setting, I will kill you. Oh, look at the, oh my God, that's so beautiful. You know, left kettle on it, home setting. I will kill you. Oh, wait a minute, gotta go. You know, many more. So again, everybody take your phaser with you and amplify its settings. It's, again, useful as a spiraling thing. You know, there's nothing quite more wonderful than heading into a conflict with somebody, you know, composting her umphitude, that makes one a more effective player to go, hey, there's a flag on that play, you know, presumptive condescension, and you're embodying the thing you're decrying. 5-yard penalty, declined, all right, back on. And then people are like, "Ooh, that's fun." Not always. I mean, you know, again, to be, you know, dedicated to trickster, sometimes you do cross the line and you get pulled into opposition and you go back to the drawing board. But as a fundamental dedication, because dedications are so powerful now at this beginning of summer, you know, how is it, what is it we want to be? So that brings us, you know, to, again, we're in the mysterious realm of politics. It is Elizabeth Warren's birthday today. She was born on the summer solstice, June 22nd, 1949, Oklahoma City, with the sun at zero Cancer and Uranus, the trickster, at zero Cancer. We go, yes! Uranus represents the principle of collaborative democracy. At zero Cancer, which is what happens to all of us when the summer solstice, its image is a sailor lowering an old flag and raising a new one. We are lowering old flags, you know, in personal lives, collective lives. We're, you know, hyper yang death frenzy. We're composting that, and we're raising this new flag. So making flags is good, you know, arts and crafts. But she is such a great part of our, you know, and then also progressives will go, she's not perfect, because I go, no, of course not. Anyway, we're all befoibled, you know, and that's why we invite the best of everyone. We discourage the up to no good and go, hey, flag on that play. But we invite rather than, you know, again, you know, critique without vision is complicitous with dominance and empire. If you're just going, we go, yes, and encouraging what? Over here, you know, then you've got, you know, woof with you. So she's doing such a brilliant job. Sun-Uranus conjunction, lowering a flag, raising a new one, really radical, in Cancer, Big Mama, reminding us that economy comes from economia. It was women's household running of the pantry. That wisdom, which is great wisdom, and the wise understanding of how to work with the land, and the whole realm of culture, which, if you look it up in a dictionary, is all about what do we grow, what do we cultivate, and then, by analogy, what are we encouraging the qualities to cultivate? So she's got that thing going. You know, and again, remembering we're all kin, and what does a family do? And it's got this 150-degree angle down to Jupiter at zero Aquarius, which is old Adobe Mission in the desert being a cultural beacon about wisdom and stories and laws and principles brought into Aquarius, which is the collective, to bring intimate things and feeling into the electric media realm of the collective. And we go, you doing good. But again, part of our dynamic is to see, some people are harder than others, but to anybody on our field, you know, to see, to invite the good part of them to dance in some way. Hillary Clinton is a little spooky. Yesterday she did say, you know, what is your favorite book? And she said, the Bible. I'm like, no, I don't believe it. Oh, that is scary. But we go, all right, okay. You know, magic is a willingness to work with everything. We go, we wonder. We certainly love the Robin Hood bill, HRC 6411, keeps being introduced by Representative Keith Ellison, great human. And all it is, it's this simple thing that you tax all non-essential financial transactions 0.5%, you know, on trading shares, and that raises $350 billion a year in this country alone. You go, we could do all kinds of fun things with that. Anyway, so that's a good one to, you know, just animate. You know, people in the banking industry are like, no, it'd be never. Of course that's in your script to say such a thing. And then I want to, again, this is, you know, challenging for, you know, the part of all of us that is grumpy about politics and goes, oh, the parties and there's no difference. And we go, yes, but there are multiple levels. You know, and again, if magic is a willingness to cooperate with everything and we form our dedication in our hearts, then whatever we magnetize is something to play with. Maybe not to accept, not to condone, but to spiral with in some way. So we know many things, the XL pipeline's on the line, Jimmy Carter, bless his Libran heart, you know, has a letter to Obama. He says, you stand on the brink of making a choice that will define your legacy. And I go, oh, come on. Yes, Jimmy, but you're a Libra. Come on. We stand on the brink of making a choice that will define our legacy. You know, let's go with this thing. So when Obama did a postponement of 6 months on deciding about the XL pipeline, you know, blessed350.org, incredibly dedicated, wonderful people. But Bill McKibben was like, oh, no, another delay. I'm like, are you out of your mind? This is really useful, as Zabora Berman says, slow it down. solstice, solstice, the sun stands still. Slow it down, Zipporah Berman says, if we can just slow down the rapacious destruction, you know, while the market forces of ingenuity are getting livelier and livelier, then that's what you want to do. So in the poker, in the infinite game of poker, you know, Obama, by going 6 months, balls in our court. We have all of us spiraling out there have 6 months, it's a little less now, I mean forever really, but here's a Saturn limit, to connect all these fantastic things that are going on and to provide the guiding narrative story in economic terms, in ingenuity terms, and all of that, so to feed him in the mystery play so that he can go, here's the guiding story, this is what we're doing, we've got a renaissance, we're going to invite the ornery creative part of all Americans to participate in this thing, we're going to have full scholarships for inner city high schools who come up with solutions to pollution problems in their area, we're going to do this, get ready, here we go, and by the way, we're not doing the XL pipeline, here we go. So it's only fair that it is our task to do that. Again, in this call and response, you know, even Glenn Greenwald, you know, was saying, well, there's a bill to limit the NSA. You know, it's actually never happened before. In the to and fro of multidimensionality in all people, what are we inviting to play? And also, where is there a backstage deal? You know, part of the power of this summer, just briefly, it's so potent in its description. So here we are, setting forth, you know, Mercury goes forward July 2nd, here we go, you know. And then part of the dynamic of this pattern, Mars in Libra, Mars is what we honor in Yang, we might say men, but it's what we honor in Mars, men. It's in Libra, Venus's sign. We go, the green man, the poet, the farmer, the musician, the gardener, that thing. Yes, we're all over that. You know, and it's in the memosphere, it wants to. That's what we reward. You know, and again, the invitation for ingenuity. So part of the dynamic, I'll say it briefly and then translate, but Saturn right now in Scorpio, Mars's sign, retrograde, inward, 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 leadership. We're insourcing what we've been outsourcing, insourcing what we've been outsourcing. And defining as we head into, you know, election madness, going, no, we are the citizens, we are the mindfully disciplining parent. We are the dog whisperer, politician whisperer. Let us define the job. Here's the job. This is what we're hiring. You know, and to insist again, you know, again, this is what we're doing. This is what's needed now. What qualities do we most need now? What qualities of leadership are we willing to hire and not getting hoodwinked into, like, into, you know, deep stability? So Saturn's retrograde now, you know, and it does trine Jupiter, which says inward dedication magnetizes outward opportunity. It will go forward, resume its apparent forward motion, which is outward molecular, on July 20th. So just as one frame, it says what we dedicate to now. And it says we can't even be who we want to be by ourselves. You know, that's the reason of going vows, going the quality of person I want to be, the quality. You know, and Jupiter chimes in to everybody and says, what do you want to feel like, and what do you want to feel like to others? You write it, we'll book it. So it's powerful kind of backstage designing ourselves time right now. And it's, okay, so Saturn retrograde, Uranus, trickster, and Aries, the other Mars sign, you know, so it's going to retrograde, appear to move backwards July 21st. So there's this at 16 degrees of Aries, Saturn will be at 16 Scorpio, whose image is a woman made fertile by her own spirit. Sounds like a virgin goddess to me. Saturn's, you know, like an Isis thing in the true sense. You know, because that's what virgin meant in antiquity. It didn't mean no sexual activity. Virgin meant a woman self-possessed. That's what it meant. So there's, you know, there's, it's still mysterious, but it's a more comprehensible mystery going, right. And Saturn's going to station at that degree all summer going, all right, everybody, get married to yourself. You know, and then you can have a relationship not based on like, You know, and so Saturn's going to inward and then go forward, and Uranus, serendipitous synchronicity, is going to forward go inward as Jupiter changes signs and goes into Leo, and we go, showtime. So part of, I just got to put, you know, wonderful Rachel Maddow's thing on the table when people go, oh, politics, I'm not getting it. It's like, no, we're dealing with really seriously, you know, sociopathic cuckoo people. You know, and, you know, South Dakota's already voted to the Republicans to impeach Obama. And and Rachel Maddow lays it out going, you know, if the Republicans take the Senate, that's been the block on impeachment. They might actually impeach this guy. And it's like, oh my God. And they're interested in that, the Dementors. So it's not really a time to be like, oh, you know, oh, and the pox on both their houses. And we go, no, 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 no. Because there's some big things that are important. There are big distinctions. And we go, right, we want Saturn regulating. We want a guiding vision. We want, you know, we want some curbs increasingly. We want to encourage that direction. You know, so we're just putting that on the table of desirable, you know, whatever it is. So Saturn says, let all vows be sacraments, and to invite back in the missing, excluded. Do you want to do a short, beautiful piece before, or should we just do a short, beautiful piece just to remind us of inviting beauty into the world before our rousing finale? Be irresistibly eloquent in inviting the desirable out of ourselves and others. And that's why we can, you know, I've done this at the outside the White House at the anti-XL and for a great green economy, suck the chi out of this and exhale into this. We're not going to fight the coal plant. We're going to compost it into nutrient for this thing. We're, again, sucking chi from here, exhaling it to here. So whenever I've done that, I guess it's twice now, taking a little bit of Muti and Obama's chart and going, all right, you know, we've got a number of people doing this thing. We go, you know, may the ancestors place a cloak of guiding earth wisdom and protection around your shoulders, including your mom, you know, and a council of wise wolves protect your back, you know, and go, poof. And both times he stepped out of the White House right then. Goes, hi, everybody. So I'm just saying it's not a cause and effect. I'm just going, everything's speaking to us that there are deeper levels of all of us that we want to access. That's part of the Neptunian realm. We can go, we don't have, you know, but also into Pluto's cauldron, approve or disapprove. Do you approve of this or disapprove of that? You know, 2 seconds. You know, and the gods go, we don't really care if you approve or disapprove. It's a huge distraction. You know, what do you want? How do you want to work with this thing? What do you want to discourage? And what do you want to encourage? You know, woof, woof. It's like, again, you know, training a dog or a child or whatever. So it's inviting back the missing, excluded. You know, I'm very fond of Elizabeth Gilbert's book, The Signature of All Things. I have arranged to have her for a short interview on the radio show in the early week in July. She's busy. But one, from when she sold 26 million copies of Eat, Pray, Love, fair enough, you know, but there's a huge evolution of writing that happened, you know, in the ensuing years. It's like, this is dazzling writing. But it's kind of fabulous. Again, these large novels that do not leave resolution but stir up really important things. Her main heroine is a botanist woman in 19th century. It's a sweeping, sweeping novel. But it's very interesting to spend deep time with a self-possessed, creative, dedicated, interesting woman from when she's born, but a lot of time with her in her 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and go, whoa. But the part that, there's two things. One is sails to Tahiti, complicated. But in Tahiti, again, synchronism, there's a tradition of the person who's called the Rauti. And the Rauti is the exhorter. Now, it's in battle. I want to change that, because we want to find and replace all war metaphors with, dancing or something. But the Rauti is the person, again, it's our backstage selves. It takes a human form who shouts encouragement, going, remember the power of your ancestors. Remember the beauty of your grandmother. Remember this fierceness. You are not backed up by all this wisdom in your family to go, ugh, you are, well, anyway. So, it's again, the Rauti. And we go, so let us all have our inner Rauti that shouts the beauty of our ancestry, even if it's, befoibled recently. We go, if they're dead, they're all liberated and positive. We go, the Rauti. And then this woman does this genius thing, again, in this long... So she's really studying detailed botany, sudden deep interest in botany. And you learn a lot about moss and incredible things. But she's also, as the character, she's creating, before Darwin, the theory of evolution. And it's beautifully done. And she doesn't publish because she knows something's missing. And then Darwin comes out with it, and her friends are like, you should have published. And she's like... No, because Darwin knows there's something missing too, even though his writing is beautiful and exquisite and not like how it's misquoted at all. It's quite deep. But it is, again, this is one true story. Predator, prey, survival of the fittest is one of the great engines of evolution on this planet, for sure. But what Darwin knows is missing, what the character knows is missing, what we know is missing, is altruism. Going, what accounts for the sacrificial love of a dog for its owner, or the mother for the thing, or the doing something good, or saving a stranger's life. What accounts for that? Well, this is where this language of Neptune dreams and vision and mythology come in, because it's like, because we're all in this thing together. This is the missing excluded that Neptune now, in its home realm of Pisces, first time in 165 years, goes, remember altruism. Remember we're all in this thing together. There is no suffering or joy that we do not all share in, and that's what music feeds, real music, and mythology feeds that, this sense of we're all in this story together, what shall we do, how shall we come up with common good, so we're inviting back the missing excluded, which is, say, Neptune altruism and Pluto resolution, we are available agents for this, and visioning the future brings us into collaborative intimacy with the desirable. So, it's also part of, as we see horrible things out there, or, crimes and mega crimes and all of that, but, and also what passes for entertainment, but we go, the technology of enticement, we go, may it be dedicated to smuggling wisdom into mainstream. There's people everywhere, again, it's part of the 6 month and then forevermore assignment going, who brought what to this party? There's people in Hollywood who are played out on stupid, explosions and men duking it out and want to do really great stuff. There's people, cooperators are standing by everywhere, which is why as we wonder what we're dedicated to, we strengthen our signal, so that we're more likely to be synchronously danced into place with those with whom we have a shared vision and project. So the technology of enticement, ooh, what a smart technology. But remember, Sir Herbert Reed said, only those serving an apprenticeship to nature should be trusted with technology. We go, yeah, let's put that on the table. It's also when we see terrible things, even the, what's called ISIS, the Islamic State for Iraq and Syria, we go, wow, you guys are really organized, and you made $40 million in a day. That's really... What? 400. Is it 400 million in a day? That is impressive. Why don't you take those skills? They're great skills. You people mugging on the street, boy, you're really fast. Why don't you take those skills and put them over here. You know, it's like a friend of mine, you know, just in small and large ways, she says she always praises her fat cells, going, "Oh, you're so round and glossy, that's wonderful, but you could be ovals, you could do this thing over here." You know, we go, what a good technology. Wow, you made $400 million in a day, that's really, why not, you know, do that thing. The invitation, the magnetizing invitation, in all fairy tales and detective novels, and detective novels go back to 231 BC in China, you know, they are, because they are fairy tales, they're diving into the underworld. And in China, 231 BC, the first crime novels we know of, and it was the magistrate's job to go into the underworld and then restore human affairs to be in accord with the mandate of heaven. What a good idea. But in all of them, you know, Milarepa was a murderer, and a highwayman and a thug who goes on to be one of the great saints in Tibetan Buddhism. And in the Chinese detective novels and in all the detective novels, modern versions, noir that I love, you want the skills of the underworld that used to belong to criminals. You don't want the criminal behavior, but you need the skills that those people have cultivated. You know, there's many, many stories of that. You know, and then, you know, Judge D in the detective novels would encounter highwaymen who wanted to rob him, but he's full of poetry and charm, and they're like, "Wow, you're really cool. We want to join you, but we know how to pick locks, and we know how to do this stuff, and you will need this in the force of good." You know, again, remember Set in Egyptian, the god of evil, but when the team really needs him, he's like, "Sure thing." You know, again, that idea of we want the underworld skills, we want the redeemed heart. You know, so as we, before we spiral forth, you know, we want to bless and see each other as our most radiant selves, you know, and each person a kind of composite of, you know, all that they, all with which each one of us finds, you know, affinity. You know, there's a wonderful Amharic Ethiopian word, aizan, which means the gathering of force to express support, you know, so we might just say to each other, aizan, 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 that'll do. You know, and then from the French circus, there is, of course, you know, alley-oop, which is, you know, encouragement to tackle challenges when one is on a difficult journey. You know, again, alley-oop, like into the trapeze, like alley-oop. So we go, alley-oop, alley-oop, that's right. So we are getting ready to synchronously sail to the land of Serendip, you know, hoisting our sails. There was, you know, Jupiter, again, blessing and stories, the power of stories to guide us all. You know, study that said, you know, luck increases when we run on the fuel of curiosity and generosity. May it go well for you and for you. Oh, lucky. You know, so we want good luck for all beings. And then, you know, let's see. I think I'll say the final blessing and then hand it to you all for the jaunty finale tune in which people can go, all right, we're going on. Okay, so I like, you know, Jornus the trickster says to each one of us, you know, I will connect you to the coolest things possible, and all I want from you is willingness. And so we go, we are willing, we are willing. And the gods go, look, they've hoisted their sails of willingness. That's fabulous. And Neptune says, certainty is a booby prize. We just want you to wonder, and whatever you wonder about will attract, you know, the lightning of insight. So we go, and we are wondering, we wonder. That's right. And we are alley-oop, alley-oop. Take it away, team.
Oh,
To Tina Eck and Keith Carr. And then one last thing to do together, which is to go ISIS, ISIS, rah, rah, rah.
ISIS, ISIS, rah, rah, rah.
I'm Caroline Casey, thanking you for doing this adorable work.